Let's freaking go. We have an absolutely positively fantabulous guest lined up for you tonight. Now, I can't officially announce this until tomorrow, as much as I love this next guest. We have been friends for a very long time. He has done the stand-up comedy thing, still does the stand-up comedy thing. Big announcement. We will have a current LSU starter join the show next Tuesday. We also have another one of the rising members, maybe the biggest rising SEC media member. He will join us Thursday night. But we must together attack Big Ten propaganda. And there's no better person on the planet to do that than the guy who has stuffed Kurt Cignetti right into a locker. It is Chris Marler. What was your first reaction when you heard the SEC non-conference schedule attack?
I overreacted, like with most things. I get it, but I think that what really bums me out about this whole thing is that, like, I don't feel like I'm being dramatic when I say this. It feels like the entire country is being gaslit into this idea that, like, no. The SEC, behind this, like, boogeyman, fear-mongering crap of, like, well, they only play 8 conference games. It's like, right. And think about how much more they're getting done in 8 conference games. Let me put it like this, right? If you and I are selling something and you're working more hours and I'm selling more things, who is more valuable at that moment? Probably me if I'm selling more things. And I know that's like a kind of a skewed way to look at it, but like that's probably one of the better, you know, comparisons of it, because it's like we get that you're playing a 9th conference game, but just because you're playing a 9th conference game against another team that's unranked, another team that doesn't have a winning record, and it's at 11 a.m. at Purdue or Northwestern, like that doesn't move the needle for us. And so what bothers me is like I fully think we need to have universal scheduling, and what they should do is go to 8 games for every single conference and do 10 Power 4 games for every team.
So yes, like,
figure out
that.
A round robin. Do like, listen, like you guys will play 2 teams from this conference every year, and or from like one conference, or the SEC will play the Big Ten and the ACC this year, and we'll rotate all that kind of stuff. I know they can figure it out. But the idea that like Kurt Cignetti dodges Virginia, Carter, Virginia, and then was like, yeah, we just took an SEC approach to it. And it's like, if you're going to say something, it better have some factual information attached to it. And that's the thing that's been lost with all this. It's just become this very weird, like victim story arc. If we play 9 games, it's like, you played 9 games. No one asked you to play 9 games. You played 9 games so you could make your conference more money.
So I'm showing this on the screen right now. If you're listening on Spotify or iTunes down the road, highly recommend you go to Vern Funquist on Twitter, where you can actually see all these graphics. And you see here, Indiana, over the next 5 years, 0 P4 opponents, 0 road games, 4 FCS opponents, and 2 of their 7 FBS opponents in the non-conference had winning records in 2024. Now, this is what I would say to you, though, Chris. I do think the SEC needs to go to a 9-game conference schedule. And I get so much pushback on this.
Yeah.
And
as you should.
And look, I totally understand it. But you also have to understand that I come from, I don't care about the playoff type of mentality. Yeah. I only care about the regular season. So if you're telling me I get an extra SEC regular season game per year, and that would help flatten out some of the schedule inequities like we had last year, I'm pro 9. What I'm not pro, though, is the Big Ten attack on the SEC.
Right.
I brought this up on a show I was on earlier this week. And I'm like, it does seem like this week I see Colin Cowherd, Big Ten rant out of nowhere. I saw another national media member outside of the normal college football circle saying that the Big Ten is better than the SEC now.
Right.
It does seem, for some reason, Chris, that not only the Big Ten, but the ACC with Rhett Lashley saying what he said, it seems like everybody's is just coming after the SEC right now.
And have at it, man. Like more power to you. Congrats on your last 2 years of success. But like, if we are looking at things in a 155 year window of how long this sport's been played, call me crazy, but I'm probably going to look at the last 20 years before I only look at the last two. Right. And this idea, like, and again, like my biggest thing is I'm not polling for the SEC. Like, I cover the SEC for work, and it is better for me for like financially. Like, but like, I am going to, I say this about sports all the time. If we're going to talk about sports, we're going to do it with factual information. And that has been like thrown aside for whatever reason for the longest time. And the only thing I can come up with is like, I don't think these people want to see the SEC play a ninth game. I think they want to see the SEC lose. Like, yeah. I think people got so tired of seeing these teams that were like the most elite teams and best teams in the country, the most athletic teams in the country, followed by fan bases that don't know the I before E rule and can't spell there and there correctly on, online. I think that they got so fed up with that. And they're like, listen, they played the national championship 16 out of 17 times, 13 out of 17, they won. And now you're talking about the idea that the fall off of the SEC is equally hilarious, because the fall off is you had in back-to-back years, a team lose to the eventual national champion in the final 2 minutes of a game. Texas with Ohio State, knocking on the door to go score.
Right.
And then ends up like strip sack, whatever it is, and they lose by 14. Bama against Michigan in the Rose Bowl. Like, the fall-off is you lost to these two teams. And again, if we want to do nine games, I think it's a gross overreach, and you're forcing the hand of the conference that has been at the peak for 20 years. I think it's going to happen. I think that Greg Sankey is going to barter that ninth game for four playoff spots. I think that's exactly what's going to happen. But the idea that that's going to happen, and then we're going to have an equal amount for the Big Ten, just because the Big Ten had 2 years in a row that they were successful, it's a joke. And I think the thing that bothers me more than anything is this idea that Kurt Cignetti is going out and saying, well, we're playing a ninth conference game. And it's like, I'll go through your conference nonstop. I know that their last game of the year is against Purdue, and Purdue was 1-11 last year. Like, but I know that every game is not Purdue. I get it. But I also know, because I kept up with it last year, they didn't play a ranked opponent until the second to last week of the season when they played Ohio State. Not only that, but at the time, they didn't play a team at the time with a winning record until they played Ohio State. Like, that's how soft that schedule is. And that's right. Not the same as it is every year, right? Like, that'll be different this year. They'll probably have a tougher schedule this year. They might, instead of having one ranked opponent, they might have two. Because then you take a step back and you look at Michigan, you want to talk about, like consistent patterns. In 2023, when Michigan won the national title, they didn't play a ranked opponent until they played Penn State in the second week of November. Yeah. So it's like, yeah, I've watched Michigan go on this run over the last 3 years. You look at 2021 to 2023. Michigan played seven ranked opponents in the regular season total. Seven in the ranked opponents. Six of them were Penn State and Ohio State. So when somebody like Rhett Lashley brings up being top heavy, or somebody like Kurt Cignetti brings up, like, well, we play a ninth conference game. If you're playing a ninth conference game and it's still somehow less power four opponents than the SEC, what leg are you standing on? And the answer is he's not. He's saying it tongue in cheek, and it's become this like weird. You don't have to. I tell you what, it has the same amount of merit and value and weight as somebody on Twitter saying rent free when you don't have an actual argument, because there isn't an actual argument. And when there's any sort of pushback, the pushback becomes, well, strength of schedule rankings are flawed, and ranked opponents should be at the time, not at the end. And like, but they will move the goalposts as soon as possible. At no point is any of the pushback factual information, and it blows my mind.
Yeah, the funny thing about Cignetti is that Rhett Lashley's argument was just like way weaker. It was so worse. Saying what he said about the same six SEC teams or whatever the hell it was. I just, if anyone that shouldn't be talking right now, it's the ACC, especially right. SMU backing into the playoff and just shit in the bed.
Okay, so here's the other thing, too. And this is why I feel like I'm taking crazy pills. And I know that you didn't sign up for me going on a soapbox about this.
No, but this is your stream, man.
You also kind of did. So it's like, because you know me well enough.
Yeah.
But here's the thing, dude. Like, what's crazy about this is this idea that they push this narrative. And they're like, oh, my gosh. And this SEC bias. And it's like, you guys got what you wanted. Like, there wasn't a fourth SEC team that made the playoff last year.
No.
SMU did. SMU got in at 11-2 without a win over a ranked opponent. and before the game against Clemson had a strength of schedule that was ranked 75th in the country. Boise State was 86th. Boise State got a 3 seed. Like this whole idea, oh my gosh, it's you know, this SEC bias, they're trying to push this, the media's trying to push the SEC into it. It's like, you got what you wanted this past year.
Yeah.
You had two Big Ten teams in the playoff in 2022, right? In 2020, when Ohio State got skull-dragged by Alabama, they had 7 total games that they played, and they got put into the playoff. Like, you have been the benefit of every single turn, not the SEC. You have had the benefit of every single turn. Like, you can get upset about the metrics that you think are flawed in favor of the SEC, but the committee doesn't care about that. The committee doesn't care about that at all. And so this idea that it's like, oh, like these two coaches who benefited more than anyone just to get absolutely destroyed in their first game in the playoff, they're the ones that both got the benefit of the doubt, not the SEC. And so for them to come out and still have the audacity to like try and dunk on the SEC, like maybe, you know, like I said this the other day, there's a reason why Dabo Swinney hasn't been the voice of it. There's a reason why Ryan Day hasn't been the voice of it, because they know what their record is against the SEC, and they also probably got a little bit of sense to them. Like, Dabo, maybe he may look stupid running down that hill in those pleated khakis, but he also has a little bit of sense to him knowing, yeah, I'm probably not going to bark up that tree when we lost 3 games to that conference last year alone. Like, SMU didn't have to play a single soul and then goes into the playoff at 11-2, and it's like, if that's the case, sign me up for Mercer twice. Like, if that's what we're going to do.
Yeah, it's interesting. Let's acknowledge some of our diehards. Tony, Tyler, we're talking about old Cliff beforehand, my cuz.
Is this live? Oh, it is live.
Yeah. I was like, wait, did I not click the right button? You know, for me, Marler.
Yeah.
I do love interesting, objective perspectives of teams that you cover, but you're not necessarily a fan of. So
right.
You work for LouisianaSports.net, and you've done a really good job building the site and all
Thank
that
you.
Stuff. And now you're basically covering LSU full-time in many ways.
Am I?
Well, yeah, I mean, kind of, sort of, if you're the social media manager for that site. So you're not, like me, like blinded fan. So give us your thoughts of how you view this LSU roster and team going into this next year.
Dude, I don't know how you cover these receivers. I'm not going to sit here and tell you they're better than 2019 at all. I'm not going to tell you they're going to put the production that 2023 had. But when I look at Aaron Anderson, who might be the most underrated receiver in the entire conference, if not the country, coming back, and the speed that he has, like, I can't remember the kid's name. Xavier, who's zero? Xavier what? Xavion?
Oh, Xavion Thomas, yeah.
Xavion Thomas, who is a speedster. Like, you have him. Then you have Chris Hilton, who, by the way, Chris Hilton at Media Days, I have like goosebumps during the conversation. He sat there with me for like 3 minutes and was like, here's every single place you need to go when you go to Baton Rouge. Like, right. And he didn't say Fred's once, which was kind of disappointing.
But no, that's like, good. That's good.
Yeah, probably so.
For the players, we don't want.
He's a grounded kid, man. He was so great and calm. He had one of the best answers I heard. I was like, what game this year? You got a couple on there that would be like revenge games. He's like Ole Miss, because I felt like I lost that game single-handedly in 2023. And I was like, man, like, what a turn of events from when we saw him in Florida and Brian Kelly ripping into him.
Did he say that?
Oh yeah, he was like, I felt like I lost that game single-handedly. I'll send you the clip of it.
No. So do you know what actually happened in that game? You probably don't.
I know the defense gave up 48 or 55 points.
Right. So Chris had a drop, like a walk-in touchdown drop, really, really, really early. But at the very end of the game, Jaden threw like the best Hail Mary ever, and it hit him in the hands. But he was interfered with. They didn't call it. And what really sucked is – okay, so do you remember my favorite, most underrated SEC game that nobody will ever talk about is Auburn versus Texas A&M last year?
Oh, so good. Four overtimes?
Yeah, 4 overtimes. And I think about Amari Daniels, who dropped the 2-point conversion. And not only do you have to sit down and wallow, you have the fans rushing the field.
Yeah.
So you got to worry that your teammate's going to get stampeded on.
Right.
Chris Hilton had the same thing happen to him. But he actually got hurt because he jumped so high, he landed.
Yeah.
So the fact that he said that is really cool. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, you're good. He caught me off guard when he said it, but he was like, I think that he's obviously going to take a massive step forward, but even if he doesn't, and he's still a consistent player, and you have Aaron Anderson, you have Varian Brown with 3 years of SEC production, you have Nick Anderson who's coming off an injury, but like, I mean, dude, 6'4", 220-pound wideout, like I don't know how you match up against them. The running game can't get worse. So I would have to assume it would get better. And I know the offensive line lost 4 starters, but listen, that's an offensive line that did really well, minus the Florida game. That's an offensive line that did really well in the first however many games, like not letting Nussmeier get hurt. They're not letting Nussmeier get hit. Okay. But like that was great with like the ability to like the pass protection, but they couldn't run block for anything. Then I look at the other side of the ball, man, and I'm like, okay. Solomon Gilroy going out in like week 2 or whatever it was last year where he tore his Achilles.
Yeah, Jacoby and Gilroy. But yeah, keep going.
Jacoby and Gilroy, my bad. I'm working on that, I promise.
No. It would be like you would correct me on a lot of South Carolina players.
Yeah. Fair. So keep going, yeah. But like that defensive line is going to get better. You bring back at one point, I know it's not right now, but at one point was the best player in the country defensively, Harold Perkins, coming back off injury. And now he's got somebody to go eat with him, right? Like, Whit Weeks is, like, a proven, like, animal in this conference. So the linebacker's going to be better. I have a very hard time believing that the secondary, with the addition of 6'3", 190-pound DJ Pickett, that you could probably – he's not going to be, like, Stingley, I'm assuming, because no one was, like, Stingley his freshman year. But you're going to be able to put that kid probably on an island and have him be a boundary corner that's going to be very, very good. Like, you're going to get better at every single level. There's besides maybe the offensive line, maybe you're going to get better at every single position unit on the field, every single position unit. Yeah. And the schedule is the schedule, but the schedule is always tough when it's LSU. I wish they were not playing Clemson week 1. I was like, come on, what are we doing here? Like, just
are you picking Clemson?
I think Clemson going into the season might be the best team in the country.
Okay.
I'm not saying I'm picking them. I'm just saying that, like, dude, that defense.
Oh, you can.
Like,
go for
they've
it.
They've got monsters everywhere in that defense. On the deep, like, the, I mean, Peter Woods is a freak, and they've got, like, at every single level, they're going to be good. But, no, I think that LSU is going to be better at every single level. And, like, I'm just not in the camp that Brian Kelly is, like, a fraud of a coach. Like, you don't win that many games over that length of time. Like, I saw one of the worst comments somebody made. I forgot who it was. It was in the media, and they were like, he couldn't even win 10 games last year. I'm like, he won 10 games 7 years in a row. Like, he's won 10 games 12 of his 18 years as a head coach. Like all this guy has done is won. You get, and, like, I will stand on this, or I will die on this hill. He may not be the guy that's going to get into a national championship. I don't know, because it's very hard to win one of those nowadays. But the idea that he is like a fraud of a coach, I think is completely misguided. And it's only because he got boat raced against 2012 Alabama. He got boat raced against 2020 Alabama, and he got boat raced against 2018 Clemson. Last time I checked, two of those three teams are maybe two of the top 5 teams in cultural history. And like, just because Notre Dame lost them does not mean that LSU in 2025 is somehow not going to compete for a national championship because Brian Kelly's a head coach.
Few more for you because you got some.
No.
You got some pretty.
I'm big, fired up.
Got some pretty big life events coming up. Yeah. You know, for me, I look at you and look at your career. I have never seen someone that gets so many interactions on tweets, but you don't get any followers from it. Like, why? What is that about? Like, you literally.
Oh, that's a weird way to look at it. Yeah, I don't know.
No, it's stupid. I think about it all the time because. Over the last like month, you've probably had at least 5 tweets get 250,000 views.
I mean, we are, well, you know, this is like account number 4 for me.
Yeah. So why do they boot you? Or why?
So I lost the first one because I made a bad, I had like, I was at like 9,000 followers. I made a bad joke about a Kirby Smart sex tape on what do you call it? This is before I was trying to be like actual media. And I made a bad joke on April Fool's about a Kirby Smart sex tape. And they're like, nah, you're gone.
Oh, yeah.
And so then Then I got my account back and I like built it back up. And then I was like checking in on a friend of mine and I was like, hey man, like, you know, haven't heard from you in a while, like everything good. And he wouldn't respond. And so I was like, I'm calling him in real life. I'm like, hey man, where are you at? Like, just checking in, like, you know, hope everything's okay. But I'm like genuinely worried. This dude doesn't respond. And then just casually responds into like on a tweet of mine. And I was like, I'm going to kill you for not calling me back. I got booted for a threat because I said I'm going to kill you, and so that was a tough one.
If you would have said unalive, you would have been.
Had no idea that we were saying that at that point. But yeah, I'm looking at it now, and you look at like the actual numbers. It's like I'm still less than a year in. We're at like 67 million impressions, and I mean you're right though. I will say when I first started doing this, I leaned into being polarizing and kind of a dick about a lot of stuff, and like I can still sometimes be that way, but I'm like actively trying to not be that as much anymore, and like I love college football and I have my whole life, and I love the fact I had people in my mentions today that were like, this idiot, great picture, Pepper's pumped, she's right at my feet right now, but yeah, like I had people that's like cool. I can't imagine getting this worked up over you know, Indiana stuff in the fall. And I'm like, man, my job is to talk about college football. I'm so happy I get to talk about this idiot, you know, these idiotic comments from Kurt Cignetti coming out of the fall. But like, I mean, yeah, you're not wrong, man. It's surprising. Yeah.
I say that because I'm not giving you sympathy followers. I'm trying to get people to follow you because you're actually good, right? It's kind of like, you're a stand-up. Obviously, there's so many stand-ups that nobody's ever heard about.
Yeah.
They feel way harder than a lot of the A-listers who sell, you know, things out. I feel that same way about you, and I think people should support you because you actually cover things creatively, right?
I appreciate it.
Yeah, you do jokes and all of it, and I love it. And we have Gordy on. Yes, I have known Gordy for a very long time.
Yeah.
And he was midway through the segment. He was like, I was on Feinbaum earlier, and I was like, well, excuse me.
I know. I got him on there.
I was like, that is so freaking funny because I've known Chris for a very long time at LSU. We did student media together. And
that's crazy.
Yeah. I didn't see that he was on Feinbaum, and he said that during the segment. And I was like, oh shit, you did Feinbaum, which has a million viewers. My live streams, I got, it says here, 44 people total watching. I was like, well, I appreciate you. Still showing the little guys love.
But you know what the cool part of this is? And I've like learned this, I don't say the hard way, but it's just like I'm growing up, I think, like, and I'm whether he wants to or not, I'm going to bury the hatchet with Blake. Whether he is on board or not, like we're gonna be.
Oh, you're talking about Ruffino.
1,000%. Like I there's some stuff that he said that drives me crazy, like anyone.
I hate his guts.
Watching him do the stuff with like his kid and then like all the weight loss, I was like, dude, like outside of our jobs, like I respect the shit out of that. That's all, excuse my language, but like I think that's awesome. So it's like, I think one thing I've realized growing up is there's like, I used to be so competitive in this space, but I got to get better numbers than this person. I got to get better. And there's still like a competitive part of me that like wants like to be, you know, further along than I am. And I look at like my peers and like, I wonder why I'm, you know, watching some of my takes be similar to someone else's. And then that those like blow up or whatever, but it's like, there's room for so many people in this space. And it makes me so happy because it's like, I love the fact that you can build this like little, that sounds like negative, like just the verbiage of it, but like you can build this like following of these like niche people that like enjoy being in this little community and talking about college football, and it's awesome, man.
No, and Blake is my best bud, but
I know,
but I will happily help you coalesce that relationship.
We'll do it at some point.
Yeah, I tried to use a big word, but are you liking working in the BR media now?
So I saw the question, Chance. I know I love it. Like, I love it. And it's been, like, I know that there's, as is the case with everybody, there's, like, people, some people are for some and some aren't. I'm not for everyone, like, at all. Like,
well, yeah, I will say, I know everyone says that, but
yeah,
you are an acquired taste.
1,000%.
Yeah, if you, and that's actually a compliment.
Yeah.
Like, and once again, another stand-up reference is, like, the worst advice people give comedians is make everyone you possibly know laugh. And I'm like, no, right. No, that's not what you should. That's not what you should do. It's the exact opposite.
It's a big world, man. It's like,
yes,
you don't, you don't. Well, thank you, Cliff. If you don't have to, you don't have to like myself. I always say this, like when people get really mad, like I hate, like Tennessee fans hate me. Tennessee fans hate me though because I'm kind of a dick to Tennessee fans, and also because they're upset about a prediction I made years ago. Like I think that's the funniest part to me is that like they're when people get really the most upset, it's usually because you've struck a chord with something to say. And I don't always do a good job of it. I try to be better about it. But when I see somebody like go off on me about like, yeah, I hate this guy, blah, 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 and I'll just be like, you know what? No one hates me as much as I hate myself. So there. And then they'll be like, I don't know how to respond to that. Like being able to like to kind of quell that whole thing is always a lot of fun. I Moscona has been like a mentor to me for a long time. I love what I get to do. And listen, here's the thing too. Like I didn't grow up an LSU fan and I like that. I'm sure some people will hold that against me and it's understandable, but like, I love college football so much. And so like when I was telling my girlfriend, about this the other day, and I was like, you know, we're going to be going to like Death Valley, like Saturday nights in Death Valley on the field, like, in the press box, going like that's a cathedral, man. Like that's a cathedral we get to go to, and like I just get so I got goosebumps. I nerd out about it because it's like, you know, like there were dorm rooms in there like 40 years ago, man. like what are we doing? And so I'm so excited to get to Baton Rouge, and I'm so like it's gonna be hot as hell. It's gonna be a miserable move, but I'm so pumped to be in a place that like loves college football. That's gonna be in the fall, like, in season, be able to do so much. And then on top of that, like Tennessee fans especially get it all in their feels about being in everything school, and Auburn fans do the same. But man, you talk about like baseball season, women's basketball, gymnastics is huge. Like there's so many things to do with LSU going throughout the entire calendar or sports calendar. I'm so fired up, man.
You're gonna like BR. I really yeah. Like, so my wife who's an Arkansas fan, she wants to move to BR. Oh yeah, I know. All right.
Tough.
But she wants to move to BR. She loves the city. That much. And like Cliff's my best buddy, and he lives there too. So yeah, I'm really, really excited about you moving. Because the funny thing is, we've never met person to person.
Yeah.
So I've never met you in the flesh. Never.
I don't love the way you phrase it in the flesh, but yeah, that's we're gonna meet only in flesh, no clothes. Carter and Chris, Baton Rouge, 2025.
Yeah, swinging swords, baby. That's how everybody.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, nah. But you would be shocked at like how many people you talk to religiously in media and you've never met. And it's weird because I look back on when I've met a lot of my sports media friends, and like one that I'm close to is Shayan Jayaraja for CBS.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And the only time he ever saw me was when I did a stand-up show in Dallas. And I was so happy that was one of the few times where I murdered like 30 minutes in a
row.
Sick. And I was like, oh my God, this guy really thinks the world of me. And now he's probably top five most talented college football writer out there. It's Texas Tech Pete.
Is there anything worse too, by the way, than like, I'll have, cause I haven't done comedy in 2 years, and there'll be people.
Oh, really?
And they're like, oh yeah. And they'll be like, yeah, he's a failed comedian. I'm like, I don't feel like I failed. I mean, like I did it and I got to go like travel and tour, like not like, like I was like the headliner, but like with headliners and like, anytime you can get paid to go tell jokes to somebody, that feels like pretty cool. But like, it's just so funny now with like this, like the same stuff, and people get so mad about stuff where, and you're right, like I'm an acquired taste, and I am a very polarizing person for whatever reason. I think because I try to cover so many things about different sports. But like, listen, like, there's LSU fans mad at me last week because I pointed out their record against a former division rival, and people got mad at me about that. I'm like, I love LSU. I cannot wait to get better. Yeah,
y'all do that. Yeah, y'all have kicked our asses. It's not. I hate it when people call LSU Alabama a rivalry because it's not.
That game this year is going to be mental. Gonna be awesome. But I think that y'all are going to be really good. But I think the biggest thing, getting to Ole Miss and getting off the schneid there because you've lost three in a row in Oxford.
That's true.
Kind of crazy.
What's your let me get your honest opinion, because I was in Oxford for 24 hours this past week.
You want me to tell you about my thoughts?
Yeah, I was just
it sucks. It's so overrated, dude. It's like if you want to go watch a bunch of Vineyard Vine mannequins come to life and be, and you're not rich, you're Mississippi rich. Like what? Tate, Jace, you're Mississippi rich. That ain't rich. It is. I mean, like, shut up. Like, it cracks me up because it's like, I love Lane and I love what he's built there. I think it's cool. This idea, when I talk about going to bucket list stuff in the SEC, going to see Death Valley at night, that's the top there. Georgia, I think, is a lot of fun too. Like South Carolina, seeing Sandstorm. Like, there's, like, I want to see Tennessee at night and see them, like, you know, like, run through the T, and like, there's a lot of really great traditions. The Grove is not one of them. It's there, sure, but the Grove is not one of these great traditions. It's just a thing that you guys had to lean on for 40 years because you weren't good at football. Like that's, I'm not trying, this is why I'm polarizing. I'm not trying to be a dick. I'm just saying, but like, dude, when's the last time I went through the tailgating at Death Valley for the Auburn game in 2019 and the Auburn game in 2021, walk in there, they're handing me food that I can't spell or pronounce. Like, get a bowl. Here's a drink. Like, what do you want to drink? Well, there's people getting married on top of buses and shit. And it's like, and then you go to what do you call it? It's like, everyone's dressed like they work at Ernst and Young. And they got like a vest on and a button down. And then they get there and they're like, don't touch anything. Like, coolers are locked. Coolers are locked. If you're that rich, if you're Mississippi rich, Tate, like, why are we locking Yetis? Like that's just insane to me. I don't know if, like, the theft is so out of control in Oxford that they would need to do that. It is the least welcoming, like, tailgate I feel like I've been to. And I've been to some, like, it's a beautiful little town. But I'll tell you this, too. That's an acquired taste. You have to have an inn if you're going to go to Oxford. And that's, and maybe we just didn't have a good enough inn because we had a tailgate we got to go to. But college me, who was living off of that, this is a while ago, living off $75 a week and playing baseball, like, in school, like, I don't know how you survive going to the four bars that are in downtown Oxford and it costs $100 to get in. Like, what are we talking about?
I can't say why. I will not criticize the bar scene. There's a few reasons why I can't publicly do that. But I will say I do overall agree with Oxford. And I say that because I know a few people at the library now. And that just kind of fell into my life. So I don't want to cross him.
Yeah, I mean, like, listen, that. It's to each their own.
But that it is interesting. Because you talked about Fred's earlier, the library has such a stranglehold on Oxford. It is insane.
$100 to get in, dude. I don't.
It's and people pay it because it is a pretty elite SEC bar. I'll give them that,
I will tell you this: it is a beautiful town. I love the drive to Mississippi. I took it from Atlanta. Was beautiful. It was beautiful, and like chicken on a stick at the gas stations. Like, that was cool. Like, all that kind of stuff. I just like. There are people that openly pull for Vanderbilt, like their life depends on it on a weekend. There are people that love Rutgers and people that like love cowbells. Like, so there's a lid for every pot is what my girlfriend always says. Like that is totally get it. But that for me, I'm like, it just like, give me Athens first and foremost, any day of the week. You didn't give me Baton Rouge. Like, I mean, Tuscaloosa is a little bit overrated. I mean, dude, come on. Like the quad is fun, that kind of, but like, ooh. I mean, listen, I will tell you this, their entrance onto the field, and I'm a little bit it like that interest on the field is pretty sick when like when you have Thunderstruck playing and there's these two Silver Doors and then in the heyday when you have all of a sudden those things part and little Nick Saban comes walking out with an army of five stars behind him. Like that part's pretty sick. I want to get to Austin too, but Kyle Field looks pretty cool, even though I don't want to talk to anybody in that stadium.
I will say I love Kyle Field.
It looks awesome.
Yeah, it's – well, I'll tell you this. Press box at Kyle Field is the best press box experience because you feel it sway. And
oh, really?
Yeah, when they do the thing, I didn't know that going in. So, and I have a fear of heights. So college me was like, holy shit, I'm going down.
Yeah.
Because you got to remember, this was peak Manziel.
Oh, yeah.
So this was when I was in school and all that stuff. And I was literally like, I had some Bluebell ice cream. I was like, this shit's about to go down.
Yeah.
It's my most vivid press box memory. And I was freaking out there. And then I don't remember who was an A&M writer. Like, no, this is normal. And I'm like, wow. No, A&M's great. I do recommend everybody go to Kyle and go to the Midnight Yell. I'll joke about the cheerleaders years on end. I like
Midnight. I went when they were at Auburn 2 years ago. I dressed up.
Oh, yeah, you did.
That was tough.
And then Eli Manning stole your idea.
Yeah. Also very weird. I tell you what, I will, from a press box standpoint, if you can ever get in to anything Peach Bowl related, anything with Chick-fil-A on it, I mean, I'm telling you, I would get groceries, brother. I would go in there, and like I remember sitting there with Clint Lamb, and we're sitting there for the Bama-Miami game in 2021, and he's like, how many of those sandwiches you have? I was like, I've had two. And he's like, you gonna get another one? I was like, I'm gonna get four more for the road. They're just sitting there. They're just going to their waste. I was like, you ever seen Angels in the Outfield when they had those kids? They kept bringing those kids like nachos and like foam fingers. That was me, man. In the press box, I had just like sprinkles and shit falling everywhere out of this ice cream helmet. It was awesome. It was awesome.
Your thoughts on Georgia this next year?
Very high on Georgia.
Ooh.
They're always going to have one of the best rosters in the country.
Ooh.
I love Kirby Smart with a chip on his shoulder. Love Kirby Smart with a chip on his shoulder. And here's the thing that people forget about last year. And Kirby Smart called Sankey out for it in Atlanta. Okay. He brought up the fact that he was like, you know, thank you so much, Greg, for – he's like, we appreciate you guys. Like, you know, we get some rest now after Greg Sankey and his staff sent us on the road all year long.
Yes.
And it was like, yeah. I mean, like, dude, they played – in their first 13 games, they played six top 20 opponents. Five were away from home. The only one they got at home was Tennessee. Bam on the road. Ole Miss on the road. Texas on the road. They played Clemson in the Dome. Like, I mean, their schedule was crazy. Now they get all those teams at home. And I'll tell you what, I'm not – I know Kirby Smart isn't one to make excuses, so I'll make them for him. But you talk about going into that Notre Dame game, they were missing their starting quarterback, which whether you thought he was good or not, they were missing their starting quarterback. They're playing a very good Notre Dame team. There is a terrorist attack the night before the game and like pushes him back. So it's like you're obviously not in a great space. And if that wasn't enough to kind of like just have – like kind of shake the foundation of what was going on in that whole situation. And that I know that affects both teams. But you know, on the way to the game, Kirby Smart's dad tripped and fell like on the sidewalk on the walk to the game and died. In the first half. And it's like, so died. If I'm Kirby, I'm like, man, that's just a lot of obstacles to overcome. And the weird part was, is you didn't hear anybody really talking about that. Like you didn't have to take it away from Notre Dame. It was like, they're a phenomenal team last year. And like, I'm not taking anything away from them. What I am saying is that, like, man, you guys, like, there was a lot of things that happened for that team that no one seemed to bring up because they have just surpassed this whole idea of, like, well, they don't get excuses. They're Georgia. And so they're going to have one of the best rosters in the country. I think that the one thing that the people aren't talking a lot about, they had very little turnover on the staff. And again, Kirby Smart with a chip on his shoulder, I'm all in on that, man.
Yeah, I want to bring this up. It was funny.
Yeah, one more, and then I got to run. Just a heads up.
No. I'm gonna go and I just let you go because
No. Give me one more.
No, one more.
I'm not leaving until you do.
Because you were supposed to come on at 6:30, and I was like, okay, just come on at 6. That works better. So what did you have?
One more.
I'm curious. What is it that you have to do at 6:30? it's not as important as this right here. This is the single most important thing that you're going to do. Okay.
Sure.
What is, you see the helmet schedule up there.
Yeah.
Who's the sleeper?
Ooh, you know, who's going to annoy some people, and I'm not saying they're going to be good, but they're going to annoy some people is Mizzou. Is it like, it's the least sexy pick, man. Oh, favorite Black Sabbath song, War Pigs, hands down, without question.
All right. Well, you go do it.
Real quick on Mizzou. That schedule, dude, they don't leave home until like Halloween. They have six straight home games to start the year. Yeah. And I tried to write about this yesterday, LouisianaSports.net, shameless plug. I wrote it about an hour before Tyrann Mathieu decided to retire. Uh-huh. And it was like, why are we not talking more about this Kansas-Missouri rivalry renewal? And I tell you what, no one wanted to talk about it before he retired, and no one wanted to hear about it after he retired. I'll tell you that. But no, I think Mizzou's going to be good, man. Mizzou's going to be better than people think. They've made some really good improvements. It's a very unsexy pick, but we're going to look up in like November, and they're going to be 7-1. You know, six, like they just don't have anybody in the schedule that's going to be super challenging. Yeah, scroll on down there and see if you find that Mizzou Kansas article. What a dumb idea.
They buried you, bro.
I mean, as they should. Here you go. This is what you should read. Indiana and the Big Ten gaslighting, putting on a gaslighting masterclass.
You thought your ex was bad or politicians? Ooh, buddy. Look at that, man. That is a great lead right there.
Big great journalism.
Grantland Rice.
Right, totally.
Shirley Povich, which is wishes that they could write like freaking Gary Smith. All of them are like, "Holy shit!
Guy's got it.
This guy has a lead of all leads." But yeah, make sure you check him out. I know I glazed you so hard early, but I really do believe in your talent. And
I appreciate it, brother.
Looking forward to seeing you. Yeah, bud.
Yeah, man. I'll talk to you soon.
All right, buddy.
Thanks,
Chris Mahler. Make sure you check him out. Longtime friend of mine. You could grill in Hideaway. Carter will go to College Station, but turns down all. Dude, Sibley, don't get me started on this again. Well, don't get me started. Like I said, it is weird, and this is a crazy thing. And Ellie Mom and I have talked about this before. Of course, I've met Ellie Mom in person a few times at PHL get-togethers. You do this for so long, and you talk to people online, and you actually never get to meet them in person, ever. It's a weird thing that you have to reconcile. Blake and I have seen each other in the flesh two times. I have talked to him more than I've talked to everyone that was in my wedding combined. But I really think about that. I've met him twice in person, and it was at his house. And I'll give you his address. You can go meet him in person. but yeah, I didn't know Marler and Blake still have beef. I didn't know that. I knew that they gotten into it before. And it's weird that, you know, sometimes you have public beef with other media members and then never get settled. Now, of course, if you miss a big announcement, Tuesday night, our biggest guest of the offseason will join us at 6:30 Central. By far our biggest guest of the offseason. You guys know I will not oversell or undersell. Okay. He is a current player on the LSU roster. All right. You can go to Patreon. I've already said who it is on Patreon. It's also a me to try and get you guys to sign up for subscriptions for Patreon. Because we want you guys to really enjoy our guest on Tuesday night. And it's always cool when this happens. It wasn't necessarily because of me that this guest happened. I didn't seek out having this guy on the channel, but if you're to ask me, hey Carter, you could pick five guys to choose from to have on your channel. This guy would have been one of the five guys. Okay. So Tuesday night, that is a big one. I understand I'm not necessarily known for the big guest, but Tuesday, it's going to be awesome. It's going to be awesome. All right. I will never, ever, ever oversell you. I will say, obviously, current player schedules can always change. So it is subject to change, but he really wants to be on. Okay. So really pumped up about that. Let's get a few more. Our guests ran a little long, so we're still going to get to as many as we possibly can. Tigers have a chance to win it all, 4x4 track team. And we'll touch on this.
Okay.
This should have been the big story. Trey Holly is a Southern Jaguar. He walked on, paid his own way to play college football. Okay. It's funny you say that because, you know, when you have guests on, you never know what's going to happen to them. Trey Holly's been on the channel before. Trey Holly has been on the channel. Not in a live stream capacity, but in a pre-recorded interview. And the craziest thing about Trey Holly's interview is that was an awesome interview, but the audio did not work. It crapped out. It was a 30-minute long interview. And he still, and this shows you how bad I am at Facebook, he's still the header image on our Facebook page. So it's fascinating, right? He is a Southern Jaguar. How did that happen? I have no idea. What I'm guessing is the court date got pushed back. And he is already redshirted, so why not just go somewhere and just play? So I think the question would be, why is he eligible to go play at Southern, but not eligible to play at LSU? Or is he eligible to play at LSU, and LSU just decided, hey, we want to just get out of this situation, okay? Well, this is where cost-benefit analysis comes into the equation. I do not know all the details of the Trey Holly situation. I do know some, but it gets into more on the case side of things. I really don't know so much because the Southern Jaguars thing blindsided quite a few people, okay? I do think LSU, if they really wanted to, could have had Trey Holly play this year. Right. But Trey Holly is not Caden Durham. He's not. I don't think any of you would think that. So why not have him go actually play some football at Southern? And if things do clear up and he goes to dominate at Southern, you can bring him back. Right. I also think in a future, and it's already kind of sort of like this, you could see more of these types of things, even if it's not disciplinary related. Whereas in the future, let's just say the SEC and the Big Ten succeed and they have their own thing. You have these kind of feeder programs where it's kind of like a minor leagues, or if you're a soccer fan, you have transfers. You go transfer, which is what you have in college football, but that player is still with your team, right? You're still paying his scholarship, but you're sending him somewhere where he can actually get some reps and play. It's a weird situation. Okay? It's a weird situation. So, yes, he is eligible to play at Southern, and I will be rooting for him. I do think this is a major win for Trey and Southern for a few reasons. Number one is Trey probably in his current state wouldn't be able to contribute to LSU anyway. Especially considering he's probably the fourth best running back on LSU's roster right now, behind Caleb, who LSU still likes a lot, Harlan Berry, who obviously is the next coming. And I don't think people quite understand how big of a workload Kaden Durham is going to have. So I just don't know what role Trey Holly would have had on this team anyway. But now he goes to Southern and becomes a draw. It gives Southern something, right? And then it also gives Trey an opportunity to play at a lower level. And if he really is a real deal, he should go out there and dominate, or at the very least show you some flashes of excellence. So it's just to me the best for all parties involved. It really is. Now, I will say these delays in the Trey Holly case are frustrating. But what I can also tell you is I predicted this would happen. I've said it from the get-go. It's why I took myself really talking about this story out altogether. And as with anything, if it bleeds, it leads, right? There was a shooting involved in this, for those that don't know. I won't get into all the details again, but you know, of course, for self viewers, right? It's a question I got a lot of, and in part because Trey was on the channel before. But the truth is this was always going to drag out because it is complicated, right? There was an objective shooting. Trey was there in some capacity. And now all the details are just fuzzy. So with that, things drag out. And then obviously you have LSU football being a part of this, but also not being a part of this. It's weird. So I give Trey a lot of credit. You know, not a lot of players would have humbled themselves and said, look, because let's just say LSU told Trey in the winter, hey, go find another home. He probably could have found another P4 school, but he looks at himself and says, look, I'm not too big to play for the Southern Jaguars. And if I'm good enough, and Trey is a very confident back, he will dominate if given the opportunity. Okay. Yes, Graylin, it's going to be awesome. I guarantee you, you're going to you're going to be great. Cliff says, Holly holds the Louisiana State High School rushing record. Do you really think he's the fourth best running back on this team? Yes. Kaden Durham clears him easily. Harlan Berry, I'll take his potential all day, every day. And then what about the other name in this equation? Caleb Jackson. I'm taking Caleb. Especially considering I need at least one bigger back in my room. Skipper, it was very nice to meet you in person as well. In the past, baby. Good to see everybody in here. Now, that'll do it for me. We do have another fun guest lined up for you. It's not the Tuesday night guest, but tomorrow night we will have Chris Phillips of SEC Unfiltered. I almost said SEC Unlimited. SEC Unfiltered. And we had Dave Shoemate on last week of SEC Unfiltered as well. Dave and I have been friends for a very long time. Let me bring up one thing about this, like what we're dealing with right now. You know, I'll be as open as I possibly can with each and every one of you, is this offseason has been tough on your boy. I took on some new projects where I put a lot of my money, time, and effort into it, and they take a while to put together. And it's a brand new YouTube channel, it's not even sports related. And a lot of sports YouTubers, for RPM reasons and so on and so on, a lot of their revenue went down, right? And a lot of it is country related, whatever. So yeah, I'm really going to need y'all support. I'm being as honest as I possibly can. And I think people like Zion Imaging and Fast Draft and some of our other partners, but you know, it's been tough. Now I'm still doing fine. It's not like I'm rolling in the dough either. So your support, your view, your like, subscription, follow, whatever. I really do appreciate it. I really, really, really do. Obviously, with football season, I'm going to probably do well. But it's interesting because you never know what's going to pop. On Power Hour SEC right now, my Georgia videos are doing really well. I don't know why. So I'm going to keep doing Georgia videos. So that's why I asked Marler about the Georgia Bulldogs. They are, I've watched a decent amount of them. And I'm just not as high on them as I am Marler, or as what Marler said about them. I think the Zachariah Branch signing was a little, I don't know. I don't know. I'm just not as gung-ho about it as others, okay? Yeah, I'm definitely going to be supporting Trey. Definitely. All right, y'all. That'll do it for me. We'll see you tomorrow night with Mr. Chris Phillips of SEC Unfiltered. Yeah, Tuesday's going to be awesome. Okay? But we have two live streams until Tuesday. Okay? We have two. Not one, but two. And you're going to love them. We'll see you tomorrow night.
It is! Power Hour LSU. Boom!
Tonight! Ooh. We are doing some, I don't even know what kind of sauce Hehe put on it, but I'm very lucky to have her as my wife. It was like a, I don't know how to describe it, but it was good. Shout out to our super chatters, Blanche, holding it down. Look, Sibley's calling me right now. Sibley, I'm still alive. You want to say something?
Are you a 50? Oh, no, no.
No. Say something to the people, Sibley.
Hello, family. How you guys doing?
All right, I'll call you right back when I sign off. Okay. Hi, Sibley. Holy crap. No, it's like this grilled chicken, like mushroom kind of glaze on it. I don't know how to describe it, but it's good. Let's go.